Well, good morning, saints.
It's good to be here. And I have felt already just such an amazing presence of Jesus worshiping with you this morning. And Rick, as I came for prayer, how many of you know prayer is a great thing? Jackie knows it. prayer is a great thing. And I didn't come for any particular reason other than the Lord said, go sit down and get prayer. I said, okay, I will do that, Lord. And I just was sitting there, and Tony had asked anything specific. I said, no. And Rick gave me a word, and it was so fitting for just what I was feeling, Rick, and for what I'm going to be speaking about this morning. And the word was that God wants to enlarge my capacity for love. Woo! And I want to share with you this morning just a bit of a way that you can pray in that regard for me, because it's definitely something that has been on my heart. I have a few rough edges that need to be smoothed out. How many of you have some rough edges that need to be smoothed out? I've got probably some jags in there that need to be grinded out, but at any rate, my heart has always been for my family. I love my family. And I don't know if you can relate to this, but after a long day of work or a long week of work or whatever, I have always had it in my heart that I would be my best for my family and not my best for everyone else. And oftentimes, it has been the reverse, that I get home tired and drained and emotionally whatever, and my family gets the worst of me rather than the best of me. Has any parent ever experienced that in here? And what I'm going to ask you to pray for me is that God would enlarge my capacity to love my family more and love my family better. It's not that I don't. And they're not here, so this is good. they aren't going to testify to the rough edges that I have, and I'm thankful to God for that, because I have them. And I acknowledge my need for Jesus. How many of you need him? How many of you need him? Oh, we need the Lord. I want to begin this morning just by speaking. Where's the piano player? Where's the piano player? Well, go get her and bring her back here, please. God put her on my heart this morning as we were worshiping. What's her name? Piano player's name? Ashlyn? E. Ashley. All right. So we'll just wait a moment for Ashley to be retrieved. And this morning, if you want to grab your Bibles and take them, we're going to look at two passages of Scripture this morning. Ephesians chapter 4 and Mark chapter 10. This is Ashley here. Hi, Ashley. You were beckoned, and the reason is this. I think the last time that I was with you, I talked about asking the Lord who was on his heart. Anyone remember that the last time I was here? When we pray, we should pray and ask God who was on his heart. And I just wanted to address you, Ashley, just for a minute, and just let you know that the Lord has you on his heart this morning. And I just thank God for what I sensed from you today, that your willingness to use the gift that God has given you to serve the Lord. And perhaps because you play the piano and aren't front and center, you don't get acknowledged or whatever, but I just want to thank you for the gift, and because it was amazing. And beyond the gifting, I as you were playing the piano, I just different times during the service, it almost brought me to tears. The anointing I sensed coming from your life as you participate and be a part of the worship team. And so the Lord gave me a scripture for you, and maybe the worship team, Melanie, why don't you come, actually, and because I'm going to pray for you. Why don't you take one of the hot seats? You can have either one, and we're just going to pray for you this morning. And the scripture that came to mind, and I'll just leave the scripture with you, is Psalm 37 in verse 4 and 5, okay? And it says, delight yourself also in the Lord, as you do, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord and trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And I believe that there is a desire in your heart. I don't know what it is, but the Lord is going to bring that to pass for you. And so whatever desire has just come to your mind, let's just believe God to do it because he loves you and he wants to do good things in your life. And he specifically, something that's dormant that you've been hoping for, praying for, longing for, it's going to come. It's coming. Okay? So why don't we all extend our hand in faith toward Ashley this morning as we pray for her and ask God to just continue to anoint and bless her this morning. Father, thank you for the anointing on this woman's life, for her heart of worship, for her desire to serve and worship you and the gifts that she is using to do so. Jesus, I pray that you would bless her today. Give her the desires of her heart. God, I pray those things that are dormant, that have been in her life and in her heart, that she's been yearning for, longing for, and wanting. Jesus, right now, begin a work that will bring them to completion and do it soon. I pray. Give her the desires of her heart, Jesus. Because you love her and because she delights in you. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you, Ashley. All right? Oh, my goodness. How you doing? You doing good? Okay. Well, that's good. I'm doing good, too. I want to speak to you this morning about speaking the truth in love. And we're going to go to two texts. Ephesians chapter 4 will be the first one. I don't have any PowerPoint or anything this morning, so you'll just have to listen really hard and take really good mental and or physical notes this morning. If you're better at the mental note, that's good. But if you're not so good at mental notes, write it down, and then you'll be able to catch up a little later. Some of the things that the Lord might want to say this morning. How many of you know that the Lord wants to speak to you today? He's already spoken to me. Thanks, Rick. Oh, my goodness. Lord, enlarge my heart to be a greater vessel of your love. I want it, Lord. I need it, Jesus. I need it. Thank you for Rick and his obedience to speak what he heard. I confirm, Lord, it was right on, and I needed to hear it, and I receive it. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. So Ephesians chapter 4 and Mark chapter 10, I also want to acknowledge this morning, I realize the need arose that brought me to you this morning in regards to Norma's passing and Pastor Nathan's mom passing away, and I would like us to pray again for their family. Prayer is something I believe deeply in because I understand that when we pray, God moves on our behalf. That there is an opportunity for us to engage with God, the work that he wants to do in our lives, through prayer. Jesus said that God is always working, and to this very day he is working. And there is an activity, a work of God that he wants to do in my heart and he wants to do in your heart. And the simple matter is we can invite him to do that work while we pray. And while we pray for Nathan and Scott, I don't know if Nathan had any other siblings other than Scott. Steve? And pray for them and the extended family. I believe, because I've experienced it firsthand when I lost my mother in 2002, that God can come and be a comfort for them in a special way when we pray and ask him to move. I wonder, just by show of hands, how many of you would say, I'm asking God to move in my life. There's something I want. Have been asking, have been seeking God for. Just show of hands, raise your hand. Why don't you keep them up before the Lord and just acknowledge this morning what it is that you need from him today and believe that he will move. He will move as we pray. He promises to. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They'll be delivered. The Lord will hear us when we call upon him. So if you have something you want the Lord to remember, I'm going to ask you to keep your hand extended and let us pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. And we give thanks to you for the work that you're doing. You are always working, God. Even to this very day, at this very moment, you are working. And I pray in the name of Jesus for myself and for my friends here today that we would acknowledge and recognize the work that you are doing, that if we cannot see it, that you would open the eyes of our heart, Lord, so that we might see who you are and what you are doing and what you long to do in our hearts and lives this morning. And for those that have specific needs, whether they're financial or whether they're in need of healing or whether there are relationships that need to be restored, whatever it is, Father, that these needs represent, let your kingdom come and let your will be done right now on earth as it is in heaven. We turn to you and acknowledge you because we recognize that we need you. We need you. And so we pray for Pastor Nathan and Steve and Scott today and all of the family. May they find right now in you the comforting presence of the Holy Spirit. A real and tangible sense of the presence of your comfort by your Spirit today. I thank you, Lord, as I mentioned earlier in our prayer time before the service, that what we have experienced in part this morning, Norma knows now in full. Oh my goodness, I cannot wait to experience that along with her and the rest of the saints. Oh, Jesus, what a day that will be. Oh, I love that song. Let's sing it if you know it. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. And what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus, for our hope, which is in you and in you alone. And we can't wait for that day, Lord. But as we wait, give us more of your kingdom and more of it so that we can experience it and look forward to the full realization of it in our day when it's our turn to go from death to life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, boy, I tell you, I'm really feeling good. Well, I'm going to invite you to stand for the reading of God's word. Let's get right into the message this morning. Ephesians chapter 4. And keep a piece of paper or something there. And Mark chapter 10, we're going to go to afterward. And again, my topic is speaking the truth in love. And we're going to start at verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 4 and read to verse 16. It's where we find this expression, speaking the truth in love, in the scriptures. And then we're going to go to Mark chapter 10 and see an example of Jesus doing that, speaking the truth in love. So verse 11 to 16, let's read it together this morning, or just follow along with me as I read. And he gave himself, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, say it with me, speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Jesus Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth for the body, for the edifying of itself in love. And then Mark chapter 10, we're going to look at an example of Jesus Christ speaking the truth in love. He has an encounter with a rich young ruler, beginning at verse 17. And we'll go back to Ephesians 4 for just a moment after I read these, and keep your finger, piece of paper, whatever, in that page as well. And here's what happens in this story, Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Now, as he was going out on the road, Jesus, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said to Jesus, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus, we love your word. Let it speak to us this morning. I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, that you would help me with this message. And so, Lord, may we have ears to hear what your Spirit would say. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. When I got the text from Pastor Phil this week to come and preach, I must admit that I had all intention of just getting an older message that I had preached before, that I preached not too long ago. I thought that was a great message. It'd be good to share it at Rockliffe. And I was on the road listening to a podcast, and this scripture was being read as a part of that message, and the Lord just immediately stirred in my heart to bring this message this morning. And so it is a bit of a fresh word for you today. How many of you like fresh food? All right. It's pretty fresh. Just finished writing it late last night, early this morning. I've been incredibly busy over the last little while. I'm a custodian for the Blue Water School Board, and I also do security at the trailer park that we have a trailer at. And just between those two jobs, I've been doing 60 hours a week, and my job takes 20 hours a week to drive to it. So, and then my wife had to work this morning, and our car broke down, and it's getting fixed, and I had to be up at 5:30 this morning to get her to work in Wyerton. So I'm a little less fresh this morning than the word is. But at any rate, I want to speak to you about this. And there was a thing on Facebook, if you're a social media person, one of the things I thought of when I was hearing these verses that were being read as I was listening to this podcast, the Lord just gave me this message, speak the truth in love. And I don't know who said this, whether it's attributed to Rick Warren or Duck Commander Phil. There's different memes or whatever, but it is this. And I want to just speak about why it's important to speak the truth in love for a moment. And so if you take a note, just why is it important? And here's what was said. I think it was Rick Warren that said it, but I don't know, but you've probably heard or seen this if you're on social media. Our culture has accepted two huge lies. The first is if you disagree with someone's lifestyle, you must fear or hate them. The second is that to love someone means you agree with everything they believe or do. Both are nonsense. And I think that is true. And I want to talk about why it's so important to speak the truth in love, especially in the context of the day and age that we are living in. I believe more and more and more as time goes by and as events in the world unfold and as certain things are happening around us, that we are living close to the imminent return of Jesus Christ. And the scriptures say, as Paul wrote to Timothy, he said something that I think is happening in our day today. And this is why it's important to speak the truth in love. And he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, "The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." And who is they that Paul is writing to Timothy about? It's not the unbelieving world. It's the church. And there are many in the Church of Jesus Christ today, especially the North American church, that are turning away from sound doctrine and turning to things that are just not sound, biblically speaking. And that's why it's so important that we be people who speak the truth in love. Now, how many of you know it's important to speak the truth? It's important to speak the truth. But even more important than just speaking the truth, which is why I am so grateful to Rick for giving me that word, because I want that to take place in my heart, that God gives me a larger capacity to contain his love and to grow in his love. Speaking the truth is important, but speaking the truth in love is the most important. Now, how many of you know the difference between someone who's telling you something out of a love and a care for you and someone who's telling you something in a different spirit? Right? There are people who have spoken into my life who I know have loved and cared for me, and the words that they have spoken took on deeper meaning and deeper impact because I know it came from a spirit of love. And I know there are other people who have said things to me, and while some of them may be true, they didn't say it out of a spirit of love, and I didn't really receive it as soundly or as well because of the spirit in which the message was delivered. How many of you are following me this morning? If you want people to be impacted by the truth of the gospel, you have to speak it in love. You have to love them. And it's so important because of the day and age we are living in, there are many people who are abandoning sound doctrine and turning their ears to other things. So we need to speak the truth in love. And as we look at Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible here tells us, you know, the purpose of speaking the truth in love. And we see Jesus doing this himself. And it's found there. Let me just read it to you, that we may grow up, verse 13 to 15, till we all come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up. May grow up. So here's the purpose for speaking the truth in love. If you're taking notes, the first point I want to make is speaking the truth in love helps people to grow in their relationship with God. Speaking the truth in love helps others to grow in their relationship with God. Paul says that God has given us leaders and gifts of various kinds so that we might become mature or to a perfect man or to a perfect woman. And that word perfect there in the scriptures is the exact same word that Jesus used in the Sermon on the Mount as he concluded it in Matthew chapter 7. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. It's the exact same word. So the reason we're to speak truth and love to other people is so it will help them grow in their relationship with God and to be perfected. And the word perfect not only refers to, you know, moral purity, but it also actually means, quite literally, to be fully grown and mature. To be fully grown and mature. And in our walk with God, we need to go from being immature to more mature, to more mature, to more mature, right? We need to mature in the Lord. And so the reason that we speak the truth in love is to help others mature in their relationship with God. And what is it that is the goal? What is the goal? The goal is to come to the knowledge of Him, Paul said in Ephesians. You see that? So that we would grow in our knowledge of Him. So the goal for my life, and the reason Rick's word was so important for me, and it applies to all of us, that we need to grow in the love of God, is because I want to become and be more like Jesus. Every day, every month, every year, I want to become more like Jesus. Now, I told you I was a little rough around the edges, and I had some jags around the edges that I need to be sanded down. So do you. And the more you get to know me, the more I'd totally be honest with you and let you know what those edges were that need to be sanded down. My family's not here, so they're not going to tell you what those things are. And I don't feel like telling you what those things are right now either. But suffice to say, I have them and I need them. I need the Lord to work in my life, His love, so that I become a better reflection of who Jesus Christ is. And all of us are in that same boat. None of us are there yet. Norma is. Oh boy, good for her. To live is Christ, to die is gain. But until that time when I go to be with the Lord, by the way, let me just tell you honestly, I can't wait to be dead. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. How many of you are looking forward to it? You know, why? Because it's gain. Death is not a loss when you're a Christian. We gain the kingdom. Oh my goodness, I just can't wait. I can't wait. I'm not saying I want it to happen today on the way home or anything like that, but if it did, I'd be totally fine with that. My family would be upset, but I'd be totally fine with that. I can't wait. I can't wait to be with Jesus. In the meantime, I want to please Him. And I want to be more like Him as much as possible. And so the purpose of speaking the truth in love is to help others become like Jesus, to become perfected, to become more mature. And one of the most powerful lessons I've ever learned in my life in regards to speaking the truth in love is this statement, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. It was Pastor Tim Crooks, who was the youth pastor here well over 20 years ago now, because I'm getting older, and it's been a while. And he said this, and it stuck with me. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And boy, that ever stick with me. And I've discovered over my life as I'm maturing in the Lord that if I don't show people that I genuinely love and care for them, they don't care what I have to say, and it doesn't matter how true it is. So people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And so here's what we need. Hey, Rick, get this. You ready, Rick? We need the Holy Spirit to give us God's heart of love. Oh, Rick, oh, wonderful for you to tell me God wants to increase and enlarge your love, because that's exactly what I'm talking about right now, Rick. We all need God to give us His heart of love. I can't love like Jesus did without the Holy Spirit of Jesus in me. Trust me, I can't do it. You know, when you got cut off on the way to church this morning, did you love like Jesus does at the driver that cut you off? You know, like, we need help to love like Jesus loves, and to love like God loves. And I'll be the first to admit that I need it. And so let's just take a look at Mark chapter 10 now, and just look at how Jesus did this. And, of course, Jesus being the ultimate example, it's good to look to Him in regards to speaking the truth in love. Amen. And here's what happens as Jesus is approached by this man who asked him, you know, how do I inherit eternal life? And you know, the conversation goes on. And then look at verse 21. This is one I want to address here this morning. Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Say that with me. Loved him. He loved him. And he said to him, one thing you lack. one thing you lack. Now, as I read this story and as I reflect on myself, I would be very pleased if Jesus said to me, one thing you lack, because I know there's many things. there's just lots. But Jesus said, one thing you lack, and shows us this lesson about speaking the truth in love. We need to speak the truth in love because every one of us, say everyone, look around and just point to you, like everyone, okay? Every one of us have things in our lives that get in the way of serving God wholeheartedly. Every one of us have things that can get in the way of us serving God wholeheartedly. And Jesus was pointing out one of those things because he loved this man that was lacking in his life, that was getting in the way of him being able to serve God wholeheartedly. The word lack means to be to fall short of or to be deficient. That's what this word lack means. It means to fall short of. And Paul the Apostle wrote in Romans, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all lack. We all lack. And when I think that I'm doing pretty good and I'm not lacking in much, there's always a circumstance or a person that is there to remind me that I do. We'll talk about that in a minute. But we all lack. James chapter 3, verse 2, a verse of scripture that has had deep and profound impact upon my life in regards to how I view other people. He said, we all stumble in many ways. Look at your neighbor. They stumble in many ways. And yet when we come to church, sometimes we like to put on a facade that we're okay. People in the world would call that hypocrisy, and it truly is. I have learned to be honest with the things that I lack and the things that I need help with, because everyone has them. Everyone has them. I wish James had said, we all stumble a little bit. That would have made me feel a whole lot better, James, by the way. Thanks for that. But he said, we all stumble in many ways. Many ways. So the reason that speaking the truth in love is so important is because there are ways in which we are being prevented from loving God wholeheartedly. And I want to share with you this, that all of us need someone who will speak to us in love. All of us need someone who will speak to us in love. Say, in love. How many of you want someone to address your lack without a spirit of love? No one. How many are okay if someone does it in love? We all need it. We need it. When I was pastoring in Lion's Head, I always gave the board permission to speak to me in love. That if they noticed any lack in me, that they could address that, because I want it to be the best representative of Jesus to our church and to our community that I could be. And there were times when in tears, and not so many tears, but there were times in tears where I went before the congregation and had to apologize about a manner of spirit that I was just living with and living in. And they were great, gracious to me. I was there for just over 16 years, and it was a wonderful time. But I gave permission for people to speak into my life. And some felt a little uncomfortable at first because I was the pastor, right? And they don't want to, touch the Lord's anointed. But I needed it. There were people that I gave specific permission, people that I knew loved me. I gave them permission to speak to me in love. And over the years, they have. They've spoken to me in love. They've addressed areas of lack in my life that were preventing me from serving God wholeheartedly. So ask yourself the question, who have I given permission to speak to me in love? Who have you given permission to do that? You need to have people in your life that will speak to you in love. Now, let me just be totally honest with you here. I've already addressed this a little bit, but there were plenty of people as I pastored for 16 years that didn't speak to me in love. Plenty of people who thought they knew, you know, better what the church needed, what I needed to do, what the community needed, how I should better do things or whatever in the service. And when they came at me without a spirit of love, and guess what I did with that? Guess what I did? In one ear, out the other. But if someone who loved me came to me and addressed something in my life, I would take it seriously. And listen, I get to choose and you get to choose who those people are in your life. And you need to choose wisely. Because there are some who will not speak in a spirit of love to us. And it's important that we learn how to speak in love. And another thing that we're going to look at here, and this I find fascinating. How many of you would there's some empty seats over here. Nice chairs, by the way. Oh my, like, they're wonderful. I'm just going to sit down again. Oh, wow. These are comfy, right? Oh, my goodness. But there's a lot of empty seats in here. Isn't that a shame? How many of you would like to see all the seats full? Right? How many of you perhaps would like to see so many coming that you had to go to, you know, two services perhaps because there was just so many and the seats were filling up and there wasn't room? How many of you would enjoy that? I mean, when you look at this story, this guy comes to Jesus and says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" I mean, this guy made the Great Commission easy. He was coming to Jesus. I mean, imagine if all of a sudden people in Owen Sound were just coming into the church and saying, "What can we do to serve God and have eternal life?" Makes the Great Commission easy when we don't have to go to them. They're coming to us. And Jesus spoke something to this man regarding his lack. And I want you to notice what happens. It says, verse 22... after Jesus addressed the lack in his life, he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And here's what I want to say here this morning. When speaking the truth in love, we have to be willing to let people walk away. Like, Jesus, what kind of evangelist are you? Where's your follow-up program? You know? Jesus didn't chase him down the road, you know. Jesus told him the truth, and he allowed that person to hear the truth and to decide what to do with that truth, and that person decided to walk away, and Jesus was willing to tell the truth and let that person walk away if that's what that person decided to do. Now, I haven't always been like that. I've been on people like dog on a bone sometimes in my life. Why have you been in church? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? And nagging and getting on their case about things. You know, Jesus loved this man to tell the truth, but he was willing to let the man walk away. And the temptation for us as the church of Jesus Christ is to water down the truth and to say things that don't fully admonish others in the truth so that they won't walk away. You know, if everyone all of a sudden started coming and filling these seats, you know, a natural temptation would be, "This is wonderful, let's keep it this way." And Jesus could have ran and said to him, "Oh, look it, look it, look it, look it, don't walk away, don't walk away, don't walk away. Listen, you don't have to sell everything. Oh, forget that. Why don't you just sell a couple of things and let God work on that process in your heart until you get ready to, but just stay with me until that time happens." Jesus just let the guy walk away. I find that interesting. And to speak the truth in love, we have to be willing to let the person decide what they're going to do with the truth that is being shared. Now hear this. Jesus loved this man enough to speak the truth in love to him. But he loved the truth enough to let him walk away. I'll say it again. He loved the man enough to speak the truth in love to him, but he loved the truth enough to let him walk away. Jesus would never have compromised the truth in order to keep the person there with him. And this is happening in churches all over North America. Truth is being compromised in order to fill the sanctuaries with happy people. And that's dangerous. Paul said that we were given apostles and evangelists and prophets and pastors and teachers to edify and strengthen us so that we wouldn't be tossed to and fro in every wind of doctrine. Doctrine's pretty important. Truth is pretty important. Paul would write to Timothy, guard your doctrine closely, for if you do, you will save yourself and your hearers. The truth is important. And Jesus was willing to let this man walk away after he spoke the truth in love. And I've learned something in my life, and I've practiced this throughout my life for the last several years. If I am having a conversation with someone and they have given me the opportunity through relationship to speak the truth in love to them, if that person has understood what I have said to them and there is no misunderstanding and it's been communicated clearly enough and they've received it, I only really need to tell them one time. I don't need to tell them over and over and over again. If they've got it, if they've understood it. Now, granted, there are times when I have said some things, and I'm sure this has happened to you, where you say one thing, and the person takes a completely different meaning than what you were meaning, or interprets your words completely differently than what you had intended to say. How many has that happened to? It happens to me all the time when I preach. Maybe you've misunderstood my heart so far this morning. I don't know. But the only time I would ever speak the truth in love to someone again is if there was a misunderstanding. They didn't quite understand my heart or understand what I was meaning or saying. Otherwise, I just let them deal with the truth in the way that they choose to deal with it. Jesus let this man walk away. He loved the truth enough to let him walk away. And we need to love the truth enough to share it with people, but let them decide what to do with it. And so we need to be willing to let people walk away. And I wonder, as we talk about this, I wonder if there's a passage of Scripture that actually speaks about love, that tells us what speaking the truth in love might look like. Can anyone think of a passage that might do that? I'm asking. I'm going to take you there in a minute. I wonder if there's something about love that the Bible talks about that kind of tells us what it means to speak the truth in love. Well, there is. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. How many of you have read that chapter before or heard that chapter before? The love chapter. Hear it at a lot of weddings. And Paul said this when he wrote, love is patient. Say it with me. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It doesn't boast. It isn't proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. That's what love is. So just by show of hands, how many of you have spoken the truth when you have been impatient and frustrated with somebody? How many of you need a sermon on lying next Sunday? If you're impatient with someone and frustrated with someone and you feel you need to tell them just how it is, you might feel good about speaking the truth, but you didn't speak the truth in love. Why? Because love is patient. Love is patient. By show of hands, how many of you, because of being upset with a person, spoke the truth to them and you were perhaps a little bit angry and mean about it? Oh, we've been there. All of us, right? Oh. I'd hate to add them up. Every time that I've been a little angry when I spoke. And you know, when I speak the truth out of anger to that person, I might feel good about speaking the truth, but I haven't spoken the truth in love. Because I'm angry. Because I'm impatient. Because I'm frustrated. How many of you have taken pride in the fact that you knew the answer to another person's problem? And you just couldn't wait to get your turn to tell them exactly what they needed to do and whatnot. Well, you might have been speaking the truth to them, but you weren't speaking the truth in love, because love isn't boastful or proud. In fact, the proverb says, a fool delights in airing his own opinion. And so when we speak the truth in love, we got to really do it with the spirit of humility. Amen? Because I'm telling you, there's no one who likes to be spoken down to. Right? Who gets a sense of, they think that they're better than me. You must think you're better than me, the way that you're speaking to me. How many of you have felt that from other people before? You want to know why? They weren't speaking the truth in love. How many people have you made feel that way? I've done it lots of times. How many of you have spoken the truth to someone because of what it would do for you? Like the many people in my life as pastor over the years that felt they were speaking the truth in love to me by telling me how things should go when all they were really doing was being self-seeking. Try that, everybody. It's fun to do. Go ahead and try it. Ready? Someone is self. How many of you know when someone has an agenda? You know, they butter you up first and, you know, they're self-seeking. Love doesn't do that. Love is not self-seeking. How many of you will readily admit, as Rick spoke to me this morning, that you need the Holy Spirit's help to enlarge your heart of love, and that you need the Holy Spirit's help to make you more loving? It frustrates me the reputation that the evangelical, Pentecostal, charismatic, whatever you want to lump into it, it's becoming frustrating to me, the reputation that we are getting in the world that we live in, because we don't know how to speak the truth in love. We need God's help. We need the Holy Spirit to fill us with his love. So I'm going to invite you to stand with me this morning, and we're going to pray that the Holy Spirit would do just that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Father, I pray that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. Come on, just in your own words, express your desire for the Spirit of God to fill you this morning. Go ahead and ask him. The Bible says ask and you will receive. It doesn't say think and you will receive, by the way. It says ask and you will receive. So if it's something that you want the Holy Spirit to do, just take some time to ask him. Holy Spirit, fill me with your love today. I need your love. I need your love for my family, Lord. I want to be my best for them. I want to be able to go home every day and give my family the absolute best of me. And so when I'm tired, Lord, help me be strong and energized. And when I'm frustrated, Lord, just give me peace. I just want to be loving to everyone, Lord. But for me, most importantly, I want you to enlarge my heart of love for my family, that they would know that their dad loves them, that my wife would know beyond a shadow of a doubt how deeply I love her. And Lord, I confess that I'm not so good at that sometimes, showing my love. Sometimes I'm impatient, sometimes I'm rude. Sometimes I'm easily angered. I'm the opposite of what love is. And so I'm praying that you would help me. Help me, Jesus. Help me be like who you are. I pray for my friends today as well, that you would help them too. That you would help them to love one another. Lord, that you have given us this family, this church, to grow in our love for you. That there will be lots of opportunities for us to grow in your love as we worship together and fellowship together. Lord, I pray that this church would be given a powerful anointing and spirit of love, of God's love. That when people walk through these doors, that's what they would sense and know. That they're in a place of love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Teach us to speak the truth in love. Teach us to shut up when we're not loving. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, God is good. Entirely good. Yeah. And all the time, he's good. He's good. It was great being with you today. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand for the blessing. I'd like to bless you before we leave. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. May the Holy Spirit of God so fill your heart today and throughout the remainder of your days, that you would be an expression of Jesus' love to everyone around you. And may that love be perfected in you day by day by day, so that you would be more like Jesus more and more and more. In the name of Jesus, I ask it, and everyone said, amen. Well, have a wonderful Sunday afternoon, everybody. God bless you. It's good to be with you. And I'm sure we'll be seeing each other again at some point soon.